All right. Heavenly Father, it is so good that you have called us. We are so thankful that you have called us out of darkness into light. And I pray, Father, that we would stay in the light. As we have been going through your word, Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. We know which way that we are going. We know where we're going to end up because your word tells us. Lord, the things that happen to us in this life, Lord, we consider them tests because you try our faith from time to time. Sometimes those testings can be really, really difficult. And sometimes, Lord, we feel that we're all alone. But we know, Lord, that you are with us, that you are leading us and guiding us by that still small voice, by the things that we have heard before, those things from old, from everlasting. Lord, you're leading us to your throne to present us before yourself, pure and holy and righteous. Father, I pray that as we go through hard times here, that we would keep that in mind, that you have already won the battle. And Lord, we're just going through these things to keep our hearts and minds focused upon you as a trial, as a test, to see which way we're going to go. Not to show you, but to show us our resolve. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would fill us to overflowing, that we would be led and guided by your Spirit, and that we would listen to that which you have called us to do, no matter what it is, and no matter where it is that we have to go. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us as we open your word and see what things that you would instruct us in. We pray, Father, that also for Mandy, for the things that she's going through. Lord, you know what the situation is. I don't. But I leave that into your hands. And Lord, as a congregation, we lift her up to you and pray your blessings and your will be done. So, Father, again, have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Jude. I was trying to think, well, you know, it's a small book, and I know we went through 2nd and 3rd John in one sitting, and it was just kind of like, but I think we piggybacked a lot of it off of 1st John, you know, as we went through and we took 16 weeks to go through 1st John, the believer's handbook, as I like to call it, because it's good for us to go back and to go over those things, because the basic things are in there, the things that we really need to remember. And that is to love God and love each other. When we're not loving God, we're not going to be able to love each other. We're not going to have that fellowship that we need. The fellowship with each other, because if you're in fellowship with the Lord and somebody else is not, it's hard to make that connection. So it's always good for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. This is, you know, something that we really need to remind ourselves. You know, life gets busy. Like today, we were driving down 75, and we saw a couple of people spinning out. You know, but you know, we're going steadily on, and you know, my wife Cindy, she's, bless her heart, she's just, you know, she's very nervous about snow. She grew up in California where she saw snow from the distance. Oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, let's go to the beach. You know, kind of a thing. But, you know, so to drive in this, now I'm from Michigan, so, you know, I know how to drive in snow. You just keep on going. You don't make any sudden moves, you know. Doesn't matter what other people do. Just, okay, just let them go play bumper cars or whatever they're going to do. And there was a lot of people that spun out. But, you know, the Lord is in control. We kind of think, well, sometimes, you know, I got to be in control. You know, if I don't do this, then something's going to happen. And it's the Lord telling us we need to let go. We need to let go of that. You know, we have children that are grown, that are raised, and, you know, sometimes they're doing things that we don't kind of agree with. You know, and it's all that I can do to hold myself back. No, you know, grab them by the throat, throttle them a little bit, and say, look, this isn't the way you're supposed to be going. But the Lord says, back off. I got it. Yeah. And so we, okay. They got to make their own mistakes. I get that. But we can pray for them. We'll pray for them. Now, Jude is an interesting book because Jude is a Well, he introduces himself as the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother to James. Now, James and Jude were both stepbrothers of Jesus himself, which is kind of in a unique position. You know, like, now, in the scriptures it tells us that none of his brethren believed on him while he was yet alive. But once he resurrected, then they believed on him. So can you imagine, you know, Jesus was the oldest, obviously, but, you know, as the younger, you know, sometimes the younger kids can be a little more, how should we say it? Let's use a clinical term, mischievous, okay? And, you know, how in the car, you got the kids in the back, and then all of a sudden you hear this yelp from one of them. Stop pinching me. Stop, you know. And can you imagine Jude going through and saying, oh man, all of the things that I did to Jesus while I was growing up. You know? I mean, just stop and think about that for a second. And now he introduces himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, the oldest was supposed to be kind of like, there was a hierarchy, as it is in families today. The oldest is usually, there's a lot of pressure on the older ones to keep the younger ones in line to a degree. But not so much that you would lord it over them. You know, this is how you're supposed to do things. Let's get things going. You know, when we were going to church on Sunday morning, it was, you know, there were 9 kids. You know, there's a lot of things that needed to be done. And so we counted on the older ones to help with the younger ones, you know, to get them all ready. And so as we're, you know, inspecting them before they're going off to church, we check them out one by one. And who dressed you? You know, and then we, you know, get that squared away. So, but we taught the older ones how to conduct themselves by taking care of the littler ones. And so as Jude here was probably reflecting back on his childhood, he could see how Jesus was shaping his life as it, you know, came down. And so he says here, the servant, the bond slave, the willing doulos, the willing servant or slave of Jesus Christ. And that's what the term servant here is. It's I'm a willing servant, just like all of us here. We're willingly serving Jesus Christ. It cannot be a forced thing. It cannot be a coerced thing. And I you know, sometimes I recoil when I hear people talk about, do you want to escape hell? Then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, escaping hell isn't the primary cause of being saved. You know, it may, you know, play on your emotions. No, I don't want to burn in the pit for eternity. Yeah, that's a good, you know, catalyst to start thinking about it. But our issue is with sin. It's Jesus Christ takes away our sin. The benefit is that we get heaven and we escape hell. You know, sometimes they put out the things that are peripheral and they leave out that which is important. And that is sin, the area of sin. What is to be done with sin? When people talk about Jesus, are they talking about removing the sin from their lives? Is this an issue with you? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. But, you know, how do I get there? Well, you accept Jesus Christ. As what? Where's, you know, yeah, okay, I believe that he died on the cross. Okay, that's great. Okay, that still doesn't get you into heaven. What's the issue with the sin in your life? What is it? Is it bothering you, first of all? Is it grieving you? Usually when people are grieved over their sin, they're ripe for accepting Jesus Christ. That's when the gospel can come in and do its work. To sit there and talk about what eternity is all about, it's foreign to them. I don't know what that is. I haven't been born again yet. I don't know what eternity is. All I know is the here and the now. And you're talking about that when I die, I'm going to go to a place of torment and hell? Well, that's your opinion. You see, it's all easily dismissed. But when we talk about sin, and we talk about disobeying the commandments, this is where sin is born out. We got the law to show us our sinful nature. When you're doing these things, when you're envying and you're lusting and you're greedy and you're self-centered, these are the things that displease God. These are the things that are against the law that causes us to realize that we are sinners. And now I'm grieved with that. And that's the Holy Spirit working. And when that happens and Jesus Christ comes on the picture and we're born again, then we can talk about the heavens. And then we can talk about escaping hell. But we have to talk about that time in between. That time from the accepting of Jesus Christ unto the time that we finally get to heaven's door, until we're finally called home. And this is the area that we all need to be in. We need to be willing servants of the Lord. As Jude is putting it out here, I am a bondslave. Now, you remember the bondslave was one that was, they were a servant in the house. And they said, you know, after 7 years, you know, they were able to be set free. But, or they could say, you know what, I love my master and I want to stay with him forever. And so they would take you before the elders would come, and they would take and they would drive an awl through your ear onto the doorpost. In other words, they would fasten you onto the house, and then you would become a doulos, a bond slave. And you were attached to that house forever. That's what Jude here is telling. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm foregoing the whole aspect of him being my stepbrother, and I want to put him in the place where he belongs, identifying with everybody else. It's not that Jude had any a leg up than anybody else, because he didn't believe until afterwards. If you remember, if you go through the scriptures, you see that there were a couple of times when Mary and his brethren came down and they thought he would lost his mind. Man, all of these crowds and stuff, it's gotten to you. You're beside yourself, which means you've gone crazy. Okay? They wanted to take him home. But Jesus ignored all that. He says, no, look, you know, my brother and my mother and my sisters are they that hear the word of God and obey it. Hearing the word of God and obeying. That's what a servant does. A servant is standing at the ready, hearing the master's voice. And when the master says, go into the next room and get this, we go into the next room and get that. Or whatever it is. Servant, take out the trash. Servant, cook me dinner. Servant, go out into the field and work. And we boom, 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 and do those things that the master. This is what being a servant is all about. So when he says in the law, be ye holy as I am holy, man, what do we do about that? How can we be holy? Well, we read the law. We see what the standard, the righteous standard of the law is. Now, the law never gave anything to be able to accomplish those things. He just said, this is holiness. This is what I am. And this is what you're not. So what happens? We need somebody to go between. We need that Redeemer. We need the one that fulfilled all of the sacrifices in there and then can take away our sins. And that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes into us, we then become holy. Now, if we are led by the Spirit, one of the things that we can count on is that the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do something that is against that which is in the law. That would be contrary. Here's the law. This is holiness. And so the Spirit that dwells within us, if we're doing something that's contrary to what the law says, whoa, what's going on here? That must not be the Spirit. That's how we know that we're walking in the Spirit. When we read the law and say, man, I'm following this. I'm not lusting. I'm not angry. I'm not this or that. Whatever the law is saying, I'm not doing those things. So therefore, I must be led by the Spirit. This is how we know. This is how we know that we have peace with God. So I kind of jumped ahead of myself here. But in Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. So as we're looking at this today, this is probably as far as we're going to get, if we get through this at all, because there's just so much here in the salutation. And not only that, but in the salutation as well as the benediction, we see that he is trying to comfort the believer. Now this book, overall, is a warning against apostasy. Okay? It's about the apostasy that is going to come and is already in his time taken foothold. John was the love chapter, if you will. Love the brethren. Love God. Love his people. You see? If you could put it in the books of the Revelation, in the seven letters to the seven churches, John would probably be seated with Philadelphia. Okay? And so, the love chapter, nothing bad said about him. But in the book of the letter to Laodicea, you know, they had some pretty mean things that were going on in that church. And Jude kind of like falls in line with that. I'm not trying to put anything in there, but as I've been making the comparisons, it's just kind of like, wow. It's just like it's preparing us for the Revelation, which is the next book. That's a wild ride, you know. But here we have to be on the lookout for the apostasy. Now, we're going to get probably more into that as we progress through in the coming weeks. But I want to focus on the salutation, because this pertains to us. It pertains to us, and we really need to hammer it down in our own hearts. Okay? First of all, we need to be a servant. I think we've already established that pretty much as we've been going through this, but we're going to keep hammering that. Servant means to obey. Okay? The servant that is faithful, when you want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," guess what? You need to obey. If you don't obey, then you're not being faithful. Whatever the word tells you it is that you need to do, this is what you need to do. This is the instructions. As we've been going through Proverbs. I mean, if you've been going through and reading the Proverbs, you see there's all kinds of wisdom in there. But we have to take advantage of it by doing those things that are written in there. We can hear them. Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. I don't think that's for me, though. Okay? You know, all of it is for us. So, he goes on and he says, and this is for you, this is an identifier to whom he's speaking. Sanctified by God. We talked about holiness. We talked about being holy. The law is holy. God is holy. Sanctified means set apart for God's purposes. God is holy. So sanctified, set apart for holy purposes. As God is holy, so are we, because His Spirit dwells in us. And so therefore, we are holy. So are you sanctified? Are you born again of the Spirit? Are you set apart for the holiness of God? Now, holiness is not just a word. It's action. As James tells, you know, like you say you have faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works. And we talk about we're ambassadors, we're witnesses for Jesus Christ. Our works have to show through in the things that we do. Kind of half joked about, you know, the freeway instances, and we can all relate to that. But as the Lord's been working on me more and more, I've realized that, you know, hey, I need to be obedient to what the Lord says, okay? I'm not responsible for anybody else's actions out there. I'm the one that has to answer to the Lord. And how I react to things is, you know, an example of, hey, my failures as a servant. The Lord says to be kind, to be merciful, to be gracious. Am I being those things? Not on the freeways. But this is a step that I need to. See, like Bruce is talking about, you know, he's a truck driver. Barry, he's out on the road all the time. I could never do that. Lord, help me to get to work, you know, from back and forth to work without, you know, this or that and the other. But, you know, I can see as I've been progressing, the Lord has been working with me. And I come to realize, you're too much in a hurry. You're going too fast. You need to get from A to B, and that's it. Don't worry about the rest. If somebody needs to get in front of you for whatever reason, let them do it. Okay. You're it, Lord. Whatever. You know. And so we're working on that. You know, that's something that your prayers are going toward. If you want to know where, you know, as you're praying for me, where they're being acclimated, that's where they're going, you know. And so we're sanctified, we're set apart. But being mindful of that every hour of every day, being mindful that the Lord has me in this position for a purpose. I'm set apart for His purpose. I'm that example of Jesus Christ where I'm at. Now, in my workplace, I help people. I'm IT, tech. And sometimes it's easy. People are more than willing to, hey, yeah, okay, let me try this. And we get the thing taken care of and are on their way. Others, they just want to fight with you. You know, no, I don't believe that that's it. I don't believe that that's, well, okay, fine. Well, what'd you call me for? And so I have to deal with this. You know, it's just like you want to fight with me? Well, come on. Really, I got people that want, you know, that need help. You know, I ain't got time for this. And so it's just like, Lord, really? You know, I'm here to help people, and yet they're fighting with me. I don't know if that happens in your, you know, frame of world or whatever, but it's kind of like, really? You know? So what am I learning with this? I don't know who it is out there that's doing this, but I'm going to find out who's praying for me to get patience, okay? And we're going to have words, okay? So knock it off. No. The Lord knows I need patience. The Lord knows. And so He gives me situations where I have to learn patience. I have to learn to deal with those that are unlovely. That you know, they're upset. I get that. But greater is in He that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the true and the living God dwelling inside me. They don't. I'm supposed to be better than that. The words out of my mouth are supposed to be His words, not mine. How can I tell people that I know Jesus Christ when the words coming out of my mouth are no different than theirs? Or the attitudes that I have, or the reactions that I have. These all have to play out as part of my faith in Jesus Christ. I have to be sanctified in my own mind. These things have to be done away with. I have to put them aside. I know what these thoughts are. You know what those thoughts are. Same things. Okay, there's no difference. When the thought comes into your head that says, oh, wait a minute, that's contrary to the Word. I know that's not from the Spirit. Jettison that. Let's put on love. I need to put on love. And it's not just as easy as saying that. I get that. It's a work. It's a work in progress. But it's a frame of mind saying, hey, you know what? I want to put on Christ. I want to show forth Him in this area. That's what I want. And so then our hearts become the same as His. And we are in agreement that we are sanctified for God's purposes. We are set aside for holy works. Holy. That means that the things that we do aren't contrary to the law. So we are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. This is great. We don't preserve ourselves. We can't. We don't have the power. We don't have the authority. It's not our job to preserve ourselves. Jesus preserved. This gives me great comfort, especially when I've blown it so much. Oh, Lord, how am I supposed to be your witness? Well, guess what? Each and every day is a new day. But I'm going to go a step farther than that. Each and every moment is a new moment. We blew it in the morning here at 10 o'clock. 10:05, we're a brand new creature in Christ because we've confessed those things. And we're able to start again. And the world can't understand that. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is preserving us. That is keeping us in His presence at all times. He says, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. We think of, you know, well, Jesus is right by my side and every time I sin, He moves away. That's not what He's talking about. He dwells inside of you. I will never leave you. I have called you. And that's the next thing on the list there. Called. You have been called from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ knows everything. From the beginning moment to the end moment, everything is open before Him. He knows every action, every word, every emotion, everything that you're dealing with, everything that you're going through. There isn't anything that He does not know about and didn't account for when He called you. He or she is mine. And I will never leave them. I won't leave them orphans because they're part of my family now. They're a part of me. I can't deny myself. And He won't deny you. So therefore, He is keeping us. And it's like, you know, my kids, they act up. They act the fool. You know, it's like, you're not my kid anymore. No, you can't do that. You're flesh and blood. You're responsible for that mess. I mean, those kids. It's your fault that they're like they are. I take full responsibility for that. That's mine. You know, I pray, Lord, just make them more like their mom. You know, but no, they're more like me. So you pray for my kids too. You know, they need it. But Jesus Christ preserves us. That's what His job is. He's our advocate with the Father. When we mess up, when we blow it, and the accuser of the brethren comes before the throne, look, this is your servant. And Jesus steps up and says, yep, he's mine. I've cleansed him completely from the foundation of the world. Remember that agreement that we made? And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but the agreement that we made. Jesus says, oh, and I love this, all, and all means... All that the Father hath given me, I have kept, and I have lost none. Of course, I'm still debating about TJ. He has lost none. Past tense. That means from the foundation of the world. He has a whole long list of all of the believers that the Father has given him. And out of all of them, he has lost none. Think about that. Man, that just blows me away. He's preserving me. He's keeping me. I'm not keeping me. Because if I, I can't keep myself. The only thing that I can do is keep in my mind the love of God. Keep in the forefront of how much God loves me. And I love God because He first loved me. We saw that in 1 John. And there's no other reason. Now, even humanly speaking, we tend to despise those that hate us. Humanly speaking, I'm going by that. Only because to illustrate the point that God first loved us. If somebody comes and loves you, it's easy to love them because they're so lovable. But while we were enemies of God, while we hated God, while we hated everything about God, He yet loved us and called us. And at His particular time, He made us born again. Man, that just blows me away. I think about the sinful person that I am, and I just don't know what it is. What is it that you love us so much? It's not what we are. It's what He sees us as being. Glorified. He sees us as already before His throne. Already giving praise and worship willingly, able to give up the things of this world, to become a servant, to become obedient to the Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit for His sake. Man, He sees that. Man, blesses me. I always wondered, what does the Lord see in us? Man, can you imagine not being able to see somebody, not being able to hear or feel or touch heaven or any of those things, but by faith we know that they exist and then we know that we have that place in heaven for Him. It just blows me away. I just can't fathom that kind of thing. So, being sanctified first in your mind, being sanctified, set apart for the holy works of God, being preserved by Jesus, and then being called. On top of that, I think the order would be reversed for us in this world, but I think now I haven't really figured out the whys on this. Maybe it's because He's looking at it from another direction. It's hard to say, but usually it's the called, preserved, and then sanctified, as we would see it. We've been called, we know that, and now we're being preserved because Jesus Christ has kept us until the time that we are born again, and once we become born again, now we're sanctified. You see, that's the kind of thing, but He's seeing it in a different, maybe he's seeing it from God's perspective. I've sanctified them first. And then Jesus preserves them because they're called. But He says to us, mercy unto you. Now this is very, very strange when you think about it. When you read Paul's, it's grace and peace. And, mercy's thrown in there sometimes. But Jude comes right out and says, mercy has been given abundantly unto you. If I can just amplify that just a little bit. If you're these things, mercy has been poured out to you. Mercy, when mercy is undeserved favor. Okay? It's just like not getting what we deserve. Mercy, when you go for mercy on the court, I throw myself on the mercy of the court, means you're guilty. And then we pray for a lighter sentence. Well, the sentence that we get from Him is absolved, forgiven. No such crime is put on your account. It has all been taken away by your defense attorney. He's paid the entire price. And I can say that because He is an advocate. Advocate is our lawyer, so I don't mean to put Him in a bad light. But mercy unto you. We got to know that mercy has been given unto us. And once we see, once we realize that mercy that has been given to us, and how do we do that? How do we know how much mercy has been poured out to us? The Bible tells us plainly, Lord, search me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, we judge ourselves. We can go through and you know, we can say, well, I thought that, and I thought, yeah, and I, there's a whole long list. But you know what? When you want God to do it, when you're really serious about walking with Jesus Christ, you pray, Lord, search me. Because my heart, deceitful, desperately wicked, okay? Above all else, search my heart. Reveal to me that which I've buried deep. Those things that I can't even search out on my own. Search me, Lord. Your word is a light to be able to search these things out. Search me as I read your word. Make it plain to me those things that I'm harboring that is displeasing to you. I want to be close to you. I want to be sanctified. You see, during the Passover, there was a lamb supposed to be selected out. 4 days before the Passover. On the 10th of Nisan, they would go through and they would find a lamb without spot or blemish. And they would look and they would examine this thing for 4 days to see if there was anything wrong with it, any blemish, because there couldn't be any. For 4 days they looked at these things and then it was sacrificed. We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Go through me with a fine-tuned comb and reveal to me those things that are not pleasing to you, those defects that you want to remove from my life. So that I can be sanctified. So that I can be a proper servant, a faithful servant. Because a faithful servant does only what the master says, not what I say. If I've got plans of my own, if I've got things that an agenda, guess what? That's a blemish. You're not a faithful servant. You're not, you're part-time. And there's nobody in part-time ministry in the kingdom of God. We're all in full-time ministry because we die to ourselves daily. We pick up our cross and we follow after him. That's our job description. This is what we do. And if there's anything that stops that, then we need to confess it and we need to jettison it. We need to get rid of it. Anything that would stop us from a clear, clean walk with the Lord, anything that we would not want, you know, if we're doing something that the Lord would not have us to do when he comes back, think about it. We don't want to be ashamed of his appearing. We want to be clean and open. We want to say, Lord, I followed you. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can only be faithful if you're only doing that which the master has told you to do. And I think I've used this illustration before. But you know, like when they have, you know, especially in England, they get really proper over there. You know, they got the long table there and they got the seats where the guests sit. And then they have behind, almost invisible, you almost wouldn't notice them, but they have all of these servants lining the walls. And their sole job is to make sure that the guests get what they need. If they take a drink of water, they're there to fill it up again. That's their job to do. And if there's a dirty plate or something happens, they're there to clean it up. And that's what they do. They watch. Now, if they're just sitting around and they're just joking and talking with one another, things aren't going to get done on the table. They're not being a faithful servant. So if we're off doing our own thing, we're not going to be very faithful. We're not going to be aware of that still small voice that the Lord is trying to lead us in. He wants to train us to hear those things. But if we're off doing our own thing, we can't hear it. We can't hear his voice because our voice is taking it. And then whatever pops into our head, we think, wow, this must be from the Lord. And then, you know, that can get us in all kinds of trouble. Because first of all, we're not in our word. We're not in prayer. We're not having fellowship with the Lord. But we're calling ourselves Christians. We're calling ourselves. And then we wonder, well, where is this attitude of mine coming from? How come I'm getting so upset? How come I... Oh, I get it. And the Lord draws us right back. Come into fellowship with me. Come into the sanctuary. And let me show you those things. Let me search you. Let me clean you up. Once you've established yourself as a servant and you realize the mercy that you have been given, you're going to have peace. This is you're going to have peace with God because you're going to realize what a sinful creature you are and how much he has gone to say, man, you're not guilty. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had any run-ins with the law, whether accidental or on purpose. Have you ever had a traffic ticket? Have you ever tried to fight a traffic ticket that you knew you were guilty of? Don't raise hands. Do you remember when you went before the judge or the lawyer there and there was acting judge, and do you remember how your heart was pounding because you knew you were guilty, but you're trying to get out of something that you were guilty of? You see, that pounding in there is the Holy Spirit telling you that you're guilty. Stop fighting this. Pay the fine, do the time, whatever it is that you needed to do, but that's the only way that you're going to get over it. Here, he's taken that guilt of sin. And this is why I think it's so important that we, if we're going to witness to people about Jesus Christ, the sin issue needs to be addressed. We need to tell people that it's their sin that's leading them to hell. It's their sin that's leading them away from the Father, away from eternal life. Oh, they're going to live eternally, to be sure. And that's not the issue. The issue is the sin issue. We are all S-I-N positive, if I can use that terminology. It is. You know, I mean, it's the issue at hand is why Jesus came and died. So that sin issue could be removed. So that he could look at us and say, not guilty. Yes, we are guilty. I've done this thing. I've taken that. I've taken that sin, and I've taken the penalty for that sin, and I put it to my cross. And it's covered in my blood. So, therefore, doesn't matter if the accuser comes, you're mine. You're not guilty. And you know what happens when you hear not guilty? I mean, I don't know if you ever watch any court dramas or anything like that. When they're standing up there, you can see the defendant, and they're just kind of going, and when they say not guilty, they go, oh. Like a big weight has been lifted. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. He lifted that weight. Now see, if there's no weight, if you're not being convicted of your sin, if you can sin with impunity, then I have to wonder, are you sanctified? Are you preserved? Are you called? Better get those things in order here. Because when you have fellowship with God, He takes those things away and He gives you peace. You have peace with God. That's the peace that we're looking for. We're looking for the peace with God. Fortunately, and as God's way is, there's so much more. I love Paul's much more passages, right? We have peace with God, but we also have the peace of God. So that the things of this world, they don't affect us in the same way as they used to. And why? Because we're secure. Hey, I'm secure because I know that Jesus Christ is preserving me. That I've been called from the foundation of the world. That I have peace with God. And now I have the peace of God. And it starts to permeate into all areas of my life. I know I like to use the online discernment ministries as examples of... But it seems to be even more and more and more that there are these false news stories that people like to share. Now, whether they're doing it or not is unknown. I think it's a little deeper than that because, you know, I think that you see things that people have liked that there's no way that this person would have liked them. You know, there's no way. I caught it on my Facebook that Cindy liked Lecrae. You know, I mean, some people like it. But I know that she doesn't like Lecrae. I know this. You know, we've talked about this. We said, no, this is... Not of God at all. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no. I wanted to get that reaction for this area right here. not so. It's not her cup of tea, let's say, okay? It's, you know, it's not... we're more mellow, we're old, you know, so not to say that, you know, we watch the Weather Channel. But, you know, I think these things, you know, are presented to us to get that rise from us, to make us angry. And they're usually against the president or this or that or the other, some type of government thing. I believe it's a conspiracy to rob us of our peace. I really do. I believe that all of the things that are associated with this world is to do that very thing, is to get us riled up, to rob us of our peace, to get us angry for nothing, at nothing. at everything. Everything is a problem. Nothing is a problem. We can't put our finger on it. Global warming, climate change, you know, who knows what's going on? It's an interesting thing because it's all having to do with rising up of your emotions. Whereas God gives you peace. And he gives you peace of God. And that is the peace that passes all understanding comes from him. Even though the world is going crazy, yet you can still have that peace. It shouldn't be affecting you because we're taking things to the Lord. Lord, is this something I need to be concerned with? Not at all. Got it wired. Oh, okay, cool. And you're not going to lose your head about these things. You're going to be calm. You're going to be collected. My goodness, if you could be at my workplace on Monday morning, especially if the Lions have lost by a large margin, guys, it's a football game. And I like to stir the pot. I come in later. I start at 10 o'clock. And so it's kind of like I have one of my indulgences, I guess. You can pray for me on that. But first thing out of my mouth, how about them Lions, Dave? You know, it's just like, and then just, wow, my God, it's going on. And I just sit there and I laugh at him. And he looks at me and says, so it probably doesn't honor the Lord, but it's fun. Because I come back later, you know, and I say, look, you know, it's just a game, you know, and you're getting all excited about this, you know, this ought not be, you know. And then, you know, you can make things and launch them into, you know, ways to talk about the peace. You know, hey, why doesn't things affect you like that? Because, you know, first, I don't care about them. You know, they don't bother me. I don't care about that. But it's the peace. It's the peace of God that we really know that he is in control. So we're all agitated. We know who's in control, don't we? It's me. It's me. And so I need to go before the Lord. Say, Lord, take this emotion. Take this away from me because this is not you. And the byproduct of that is love. Love. This is what we're going to be able to show forth. It's hard to love somebody when you're agitated about stuff. You know, if you're all upset and angry, man, you can't love people. You're going to spread that hatred and you're going to spread that agitation to everybody. How about them Lions, huh? No, I'm just going to. But when you're talking about, this is what the Lord has done for me. When you start to confess, man, what a week I've had. I've had such a terrible week. Man, this has happened and that's happened and the other thing has happened. And oh, man, it's just like I get so angry, I get so frustrated. But then I went before the Lord. And it was just like the Lord just wrapped his arms around me and says, you know what? Let's leave all that outside. Let's just have communion for a second here. I just want you to know that I'm in control. And all of those things that you went through, I allowed to happen in your life. Because I want to bring you to a fuller knowledge of who I am and what I can do. Because you're learning these things. And it takes the hard things. It takes the hard things for us to realize how much the Lord is in control. Because we look back at our week and we just go, oh, Lord, where were you? You know? And it's just like, I was there. I was there. Did you call on me? See, next time when you're facing that, call on me. I'll be glad to give you that peace. I'm not going to take the thing away from you, but I'm going to give you peace and the ability to deal with it. And people are going to look at you and say, wow, I can't believe the difference. And I can remember when you last week you were yelling and screaming. Today you're talking, and it's just like you have this peace. What happened? What happened to you? And you launch right into it. It was Jesus Christ. I went before him. I took this before the Lord, and he gave me such a peace about it. And now I'm able to take the love that he's given me and give it to somebody else. Undeserved. You know, whatever. But I'm able to love those that are unlovely. But more importantly than that, I'm able to love my brothers and sisters because they came alongside me and they prayed and they encouraged me to continue on, to go before the Lord. And they're praying for me now. I know they are. You know, it's just like sometimes you can feel it. I mean, it's not a feeling thing, but you can just, man, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody cares about me. Man, that's great because I know the Lord does. And he's going to put it on his heart. Now, it may not be anybody in this room, but it may be somebody halfway around the world that had a sleepless night, and the Lord woke him up and says, I want you to pray for this particular person that's going to be named nameless. But I want you to... And does that ever happen to you? Man, it does to me once in a while. 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up, and it's just like after my bathroom run, I just... Okay, I'm wide awake. Why is this? Maybe I should be praying for somebody. Man, that's the way to do it. The Lord's going to give you the strength to make it through the day. So you lose a couple hours sleep praying. That's okay. Man, He is going to supply all of your needs. Remember, Jesus spent all night in prayer sometimes just to be with the Father. But I'm sure He was praying for everyone. In John 17, it's a prayer for us. He says, man, the people that are going to believe because of my disciples' testimony. And we're reading His disciples' testimony. And we're being encouraged. And we're being, from 2,000 years ago. I don't think the prayer has an expiration date on it. I believe it's not. Because there it is. He's prayed for us then. Now, if that's the case, man, what kind of vistas are opened up for us? We not only can pray for this generation, but we can pray for the generations to come. I can pray for my grandson's generation and my great-grandsons and my, on down the line until Jesus comes back. I know we wish He would come back tomorrow or maybe after service or during service. That would be better. Yeah, I'm going to finish this up here. But think about it. All of the people that wouldn't be saved if we got raptured 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when I first became a believer, the Lord was coming back in 81. How many of you would not be saved? How many of you? A lot of you wouldn't even have been born, but there you go. See, the Lord has His timetable, and we need to get on His timetable as faithful servants. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be about hearing the word of the Lord, examining the word to see what it is that we yet lack. There is so much in there that we haven't tapped on yet, and we need to do that. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we do just thank You. We thank You for the mercy and the peace and the love that is multiplied to us. And we pray, Father, that You would have Your way with us and that we would be, Lord, just before You at all times. I do thank You, Lord, for the grace, the mercy, and the peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.